Hi everyone, I'm Lisa.
And I'm Nick.
And you're listening to It Takes Two, the podcast where two people take two movies with the same plot or premise and watch and discuss them.
And in this episode, we continue on with Spooktober with Ring from 1998. 1998 and Ring from 2002.
Yeah, The Ring from 2002.
Yep.
They put a "the" in it for American audiences.
Yeah, so you knew what it was about.
Even though it doesn't make any sense.
Had you seen these movies before?
No! I have seen Ring 2, the Japanese second sequel to this Japanese movie.
Yeah, because there's a bunch of them.
Because they did Ring, and they did The Spiral, and then they did Ring 2. And I've seen Ring 2. Why? I don't know. It was on TV one day, and I watched it. And I don't even know if I've seen the full film. I have very vivid memories of, like, parts of it. But I had never seen the original, and I had never seen any of the American remakes or
Right.
So,
well,
lots of new stuff for me today. The concept, not new to me. Also, like, I mean, these are just in the zeitgeist. People know about these movies, even if you've never seen them. So I knew, like, what it was about.
I did have that moment. For those who haven't seen it, you've had, like, 22 years. so
spoilers, more than that.
Yeah. Spoilers ahead for both of these movies. You may have missed them.
You probably know about them, even if you haven't seen them. I think everyone knows the, like, you get a cursed videotape with a creepy little girl in it, and then you...
Yeah, get a phone call.
You get a phone call, you've got 7 days before you die.
Yeah. But, yeah, after what Scary Movie did...
Which I also haven't seen.
Yeah. It just, like, every time I saw the videotape... Just reminded me of the silly one from Scary Movie.
The American one was really annoying. It just went on for too long and showed too many weird, unconnected things. Like, the Japanese, the video they watch is short and seems like it's unconnected, but then when they go and they, like, investigate the different parts of it, they understand what every single segment in it means, basically. Whereas in the American one, there's still, like, loads of stuff that is like, but why? What was this about? And why was it so long? And why were all these other things in it? Like, it's bizarre. Weirdly, I mean, considering what the subject matter is, I feel like the Japanese one is way more supernatural than the American one.
There's a lot of elements to the... Well, we'll say the Japanese original... that makes sense within the culture of, like, Japan, makes sense within, like, how their society is. It definitely feels like, because the Americans have been doing this for ages, where they take something popular overseas and Americanize it and release it, like, as, like, almost an original idea, like, hey, well, look at this cool thing we came up with.
This really popularized that.
Yeah.
Because... That wasn't... Americans have been doing that for years, but lots of things. But it wasn't, like, as common of a thing before The Ring. And then once The Ring came out and it was, like, widely successful.
Yeah.
Like, internationally, massively, financially successful. That's when the American studios started just, like, buying... Japanese horror properties to remake.
Yeah.
Like, there was, like, a bunch of them in a row after The Ring because of how popular The Ring was.
I think the worst one, and I think we're going to cover it at some point, based on suggestions I've made in the past, is Rec, or REC, and Quarantine.
Yeah.
And that's not even Japanese. That's, like...
Spanish.
Spanish, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the other one, like, Let the Right One In and Let Me In.
Yeah.
It's like, well, you didn't need to do that. It was a fantastic little Swedish film.
Yeah.
Why did you need to remake it?
About vampires.
Yeah. And the original is great. I don't see why they remade it.
There's a lot of argument especially within, because anime has become such more of a home, like, it's not weird.
Mm-hmm.
If you'd be like, oh yeah, I watched this anime and I really like it, you'd be like, okay. But like, yeah. 10, no, well, longer than 10, I forget how old I am sometimes. A long time ago, back when I was like school,
mm-hmm.
that would have been like, ooh, gross. Like, you watch anime.
Nerd.
Yeah. You weirdo. Where now it's like massive. Mainstream. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it definitely falls in that same sort of like pitfall of, because even horror movies for a long time were like treated the same way. Like, horror movies weren't mainstream until they started printing money at the box office.
Mm.
And it's very interesting because there's like this whole deep dive into like what horror means for different people.
Yeah.
And different nationalities and cultures.
Yeah.
Because a lot of horror movie in United States, which is the largest market for production of these sorts of, like, not really low budget, but sort of, you know, what was the other one? Blair Witch Project, which was just like literally made on a penny's worth of funding.
Yeah. And you can make fantastic horror movies with very little. Because
they should be.
Yeah.
They should be made for cheap, because cheap is scary. Expensive is dumb, because you just put giant CGI things in it and become stupid. All the American horror movies take place in the countryside, because majority of people who would be going to these movies would be going to live in cities.
Yeah.
Where you get English horror movies, and a lot of the English horror movies take place in the cities, because not a lot of people used to. Well, obviously London's massive now, but like, your UK-based ones are always like, it's in the city, you know, that's where the scary things happen.
Yeah.
And, you know, we go through peaks and valleys of depending on what kind of monster and where the fear that is flowing through society comes from at the time, which fuels this form of, because horror is about humanity.
Mm.
Horror is the most human of all the genres, because it is literally showing you sort of the spooky mirror of, like, this is what you're afraid of, but you don't realize that you're afraid of something in reality that we've just sort of put fake blood on and weird rags on and put it in front of you on the silver screen.
All right, here's your question then.
Yeah.
What do you think that is in these movies?
What do you think The Ring is?
Yeah,
what aspect of humanity?
Yeah, what do you think?
That's a good question.
Because I can think of two.
It could be something coming through, and this maybe I'm pulling an answer out of my butt here. Was it the popularity of home video? Was it VHS?
Mm.
Was it the growing popularity of, like,
I don't think it's trying to say VHS is scary, don't, you know, this technology is going to warp our minds or anything. I think in the Japanese one especially, like the original, I think it's about mental health.
Right.
I think it's very much focused on, and also the fear of passing on your problems to the next generation.
Because that's what the whole storyline's
about. Yeah, which they totally ignore in the remake. Yeah. But it's that, A, you know, you kind of find it, like, the main character, Reiko.
Yeah.
Is that her name? Reiko, I think. Yeah. Because she's Rachel in the remake. So I think she's Reiko. Her son, Yoichi, has some kind of psychic ability. And then you find out that his dad, whose name I did also take down, Ryujin, I think it was, or something like that. I wrote, it's Dogen from Lost.
Yeah.
Ryuji. So, yeah, her son's father has very clear psychic abilities.
Yeah.
And that's been passed on to the son, and the son is basically able to see ghosts, and they didn't recognize that was something that was happening with him. And they're kind of like, oh, we should have realized that this would happen with him. We should have realized that this would have been passed down to him. But then also, the actual, you know, they go in search of this woman that they think is the cause of the tapes because she's on the tapes, and she had psychic abilities and was being, you know, they get to see through Ryuji's abilities, like flashbacks of her past,
yeah,
where she was being kind of used like a sideshow act to, like, you know, basically she was put on a stage reading people's minds or whatever.
Yeah.
And then it turned out that, you know, while she was a really strong psychic, it turned out that she had a child who had such strong abilities that it like totally overtook her.
Yeah.
And she didn't have control of it. And she, you know, it's almost like Carrie, that kind of situation.
Looper.
Oh, yeah, Looper, yeah. I was like, what? Yeah, that kid with the... Yeah. Where it's this child who has had this thing passed down to them from their parent. Their parent is kind of shunned from society for it, and then they have it to an even more extreme point, and they're kind of kept away from society, and as a result, they don't get to integrate. And then there's, you know, in both movies, I think there's stuff with, like, mental hospitals and, you know, facilities like that, and... trying to control or to see what's going on, and then eventually being so afraid of what's wrong with this person that you literally, well, they try to kill her, essentially. Yeah. And I think it's very much in the original, like, that's what I identify, is that, like, you know, we're centered around this woman who had, you know, something, an analogous of mental illness, and her child inherited it, and they couldn't handle how the child was displaying it and couldn't figure out what to do with her, and then it just utterly failed her to the point that she is now, like, going, you know, spreading that out into the world.
Yeah.
And she, you know, and she wants what she felt to be felt by others.
Yeah.
Not
a lot of instructions in that video, though.
Yeah, not clear.
Yeah, because you basically, the story goes, you have both the movies start the same way. You have the girls in the bedroom telling the story, and then it's like, oh, you know, haha, who told you, rah rah rah, and then it's all like, oh, I'm scared because it was 7 days ago, and then the girl dies, and then they start investigating, and it's like all these rumors through school. And then she goes and finds, because it happens to be her
aunt,
yeah,
is a reporter.
And you end up in this situation where they're doing their investigative journalism back when there was a real thing. And people sort of trusted me a little bit more, I guess. Mm. Which is not the current point in time where people can say things on video and then being like, nah, that never happened. Weird times we live in. And you sort of, you dive in, and there's these, because of the type of person who's become involved within this sort of phenomenon, starts digging deeper.
Yeah.
Has the ability to, turns out the secret to surviving the 7 days, massive spoilers again, is making a copy of the original and then passing it on to
other people. I will say that when that happened in the first, because that was something I didn't know about these films.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, that's very 90s chainmail.
Yeah.
You will die, and if you don't rewrite this letter and send it to 5 other people, yeah, you know.
It was so funny because emails started doing that.
Yeah. I used to get emails like that, chainmail emails. I just ignored them generally. Yeah. But I remember them being physical letters as well. Yeah. You get a physical letter in the post, and it would have like names of all the people who had it before you or whatever, and then you send it on to the next person. And that's very much what this is. I was like, oh, okay, it's just some chain mail in VHS form. In the remake, I think it's still about the mental health and how we treat people who are mentally ill, but they really just got rid of the whole inherited shit.
Yeah. Here's the issue I have with the American remake.
Yeah.
Rachel is a terrible parent.
And a terrible journalist.
And yeah, but...
And just a bad employee, because Reiko in the Japanese one is, like, investigating on behalf of her news outlet or whatever yeah. at first, and then there's the personal connection, and then she realizes what's going on, and then it all ties in.
Yeah.
But she's still doing it with work. Whereas Rachel in the remake, you don't even find out that she's a journalist for ages, and then there's, like... She literally, the only time you see her at work, I think...
Her boss is telling her she's fired.
And yeah, and she's like, no, I'm not fired. I'm working on something. I won't even tell him what it is.
Yeah.
Terrible parent, though, as well. Yeah. And the dad is pretty shitty.
Noah is terrible. Noah is like... Because it's like quite an iconic scene, and it's very iconic in The Ring. The mum, obviously, working parent, single parent. You know, the kid has picked up a little bit more responsibility than the child at that age should be.
Yeah.
I'm not saying children at that age can't make themselves a sandwich. Pretty sure you should, like, take the time to make your kid a sandwich.
Yeah.
So they're actually eating a sandwich, and then you can get into the culture of, like, lots of different countries of parents who don't provide their kid good nutrition and blah, 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 blah. Anyway, my point being... There's an iconic scene where the kid's walking to school and he's got his umbrella because it's raining and he's got his little, like, school outfit bag on, and him and the dad cross paths and they stop and stare at each other. And it's such an iconic, like, beautiful piece of cinematography in Ring.
Yeah.
And in The Ring, they're like, oh, well, that scene happened in the movie, so we'll put it in here.
It means nothing.
Yeah.
Because in the original... Like, and I guess it is implied still that they don't actually know each other. They don't have they're not in each other's lives. But they both have this latent psychic ability. Correct. And they're basically reading each other's minds or energies at that point, and they know who each other are instantly.
Yeah, it'd be like two superheroes walking down the street and like walking past each other and giving each other a nod.
You know, they have the shining.
They have the shining.
You know, and it makes... Perfect sense. Also, the actor who plays Yoichi is just perfect.
Yeah.
It's just like I don't know where they found him. He's the ideal actor for this little child. And I feel like the casting directors for the American remake were like...
Give me the creepiest child.
No, I was thinking... My thought was that they were like, we need... They looked at it and they were like, all right, what makes this kid work? He's got old man energy. We just need a small child with old man energy. And then they just find this, like, little old man child.
I genuinely wonder... I'm going to look it up now, but, like... I genuinely wonder if that's what I was like as a child, because...
Just like a little old man vibe.
The kid screams, like, autism energy at a level that is, like, he is 9 going on 19.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's how, like, one of my parents used to describe me, because it would just be like, I'm tired, can we go home? It's like, no, you're a child, go play outside. Like, alright.
And I think...
The other kids are loud.
Honestly, I think autism energy... is what you're looking for in this kid, because I think, like I said, I think it's analogous. I think that it's a, you know, the having psychic abilities is equivalent to being neurodivergent, essentially. What?
I just looked up the actor who played him.
Which one? The American?
Yeah, David Dwarfman.
Yeah.
He works in the US House of Representatives, serving as legislation director / general counselor for Energy and Commerce Committee's view, vice chairman and Homeland Security Committee Cybersecurity Subcommittee. That's a lot of... Yeah,
perfect. That's a lot of nerd shit.
Yeah.
That
is one ginormous sentence.
Wow. That's impressive.
Yeah.
Considering he was just like some child actor. Yeah, definitely. I think they literally were like trying and failing to figure out what works with the kid who plays Yoichi.
Yeah.
And instead of finding like a child who is small and adorable, but like feels like he has
blank.
Blank
almost.
Yeah, but he also feels like he has a presence to just like accept responsibility, like it's normal.
Yeah.
Like when it shouldn't be. And in the American remake, they were like, what's important here? Feels like an old man. Let's find a child who feels like an old man. To the point that, like, he goes to the funeral in a suit that makes him look like he's just, like, a shrunken old man.
It's not to mention, like, the whole sequence of her, like, getting up, him being ready, her not being,
yeah.
Rachel, her being like, God damn it, and, like, where's my black dress?
Yeah.
And she, like, runs out, and he's standing on a chair, looking at himself in a mirror, doing, like, a half Windsor knot in the mirror, unassisted, and she can't even, like, put pants on.
Yeah.
And you're like, who the fuck is the adult in this movie?
But also, like, it doesn't make, and none of it makes any sense in the American remake where he doesn't have the psychic abilities.
Yes.
He's got nothing.
Yeah.
There's, like, one throwaway line right near the end where he says that he could see the girl. And that's well after he's been cursed with the videotape.
Yeah.
Spoilers. But, like, it makes sense in the original where he's got this. And I think we're supposed to see the dad, Ryuji, as being, like, basically autistic as well.
Yeah.
You know, and that's, you know, that's how this psychic ability manifests from a social point of view.
Yeah.
Whereas Noah's just like some dude. He's just some annoying guy who's a bit stupid.
He is very much the very bland horror movie guy.
I
feel like Chris Hemsworth in Cabin in the Woods is supposed to like emulate, and that like here's the 90s to the 2000s sort of like jock dude. And it's like, he's like, works in film.
Yeah.
Something. Like, it's like,
they just were trying to find a reason for her to have to go to him.
Yeah.
Because even then, it still doesn't make any sense. Because, like, it makes perfect sense for Reiko to go to Ryuji. Because she's like, oh, this is some ghost shit. I'm gonna go to my psychic ex-husband who knows about ghost shit and is an expert in this stuff and also happens to work with video equipment. And it's like, cool, that's the perfect person to go to for this. 100%.
Yeah.
Do it.
Not like, hey,
it's like,
even though I'm a terrible parent, I'm gonna ring my ex.
I'm a single mom who can't raise one child, and he has a deadbeat dad who just is kind of shitty and annoying and doesn't show up just for no reason other than he's just kind of shitty and annoying. But I've watched this videotape and I guess it's kind of scary, so I'm going to involve him for some reason.
Here's something I'd like to point out about The Ring.
Yeah.
Do you feel like it was filmed on the same leftover film stock as The Matrix?
Oh, because of the green?
It's so green.
That's intentional.
I know, but
they wanted it to feel sickly, is what they said.
It just comes off as just like,
it's very green.
Yeah, but like everybody seems ill.
Yeah, that was the point. That's
I know.
Genuinely what they wanted was they wanted it to feel sickly.
But not in the way that it's being portrayed on screen.
Right, okay.
I'm saying they all look like they've just eaten bad shellfish. Not that the psychic powers of a tortured child was imbued into a videotape that is now bringing you and killing you. It is literally like there is an E. coli outbreak and everyone keeps eating the Walmart shrimp. Like,
do you know what? I'm sorry, I'm just thinking about this. Like, because, and I think, you know, I think part of why this movie got made is because of the success of another movie, which is The Sixth Sense. And actually, Haley Joel Osment, when he was younger, would have been perfect in that role as a kid.
I don't think the role's big enough. Like, I think Haley Joel Osment as The Sixth Sense, as all the other roles that he played as a child.
Yeah.
The film really focuses around him as a child.
But I mean, he has the aura that would work with this child.
He would be the right actor because he'd fit any role.
Yeah, true.
I'm saying that, it wouldn't, the movie would be like, why the hell was a movie about this annoying lady when there was a overacting kid in the background?
Yeah, true. I wonder.
I can feel her presence. She's behind the wall. Oh, it's under the floor. Oh, she's coming from inside the call.
I wonder if the casting call went out as, Haley Joel Osment type. You know what I mean?
Like, adjacent, yeah.
I can imagine someone writing that. We want a Haley Joel Osment type. And I don't think they quite got him. This is, by the way, no shade on the kid.
Yeah.
I just think it was a weird... I think the casting choice was slightly strange, but could have worked if they also put in the actual, like, psychic ability stuff. But I did say to you, literally while we were watching it, before or when Noah was just about to be introduced, I said, the one thing I don't think they could pull off an American remake is having her have an ex-husband who's psychic. I yeah. don't think it's going to work. But I think they could have done something better than what they did.
Haley Joel Osment would have not been able to play this character because he's 2 years younger than me.
No, no, I know that. That's what yeah. I'm saying. I'm saying young Haley Joel Osment.
Yeah.
At the time this was out, he was like a teenager playing Sora in Kingdom Hearts.
That's true.
I'm saying you want like pre Sixth Sense age. Haley Joel Osment and teleport him into 2002. Like, they would have had to make it before the original. Yeah, otherwise, listen, if Haley Joel Osment was the right age, it would have been Haley Joel Osment in this movie.
I don't know.
I have no doubt.
I think he gets paid way too much even at that point in time.
Have you seen the budget of this movie?
It was one something million.
It was 48 million.
Was it?
Yeah, the Japanese one was 1.2 million. The American remake was 48 million. They could have afforded a Haley Joel Osment on that salary. But then again, they were also trying to get... I don't know. It says they were trying to get, like, unknown actors, and yet there's so many actors in that movie that I know.
Naomi Watts, Brian Cox, yeah.
Amber Tamblyn.
Yeah.
Like, there's a weird amount of popular actors in that. I've forgotten her name now, the name of the actress, but she's in NCIS, and she plays the student that that Noah's having an affair with. Yeah, it just falls flat. I think it's like, I understand, you know, that at the time it came out, because it was widely successful. I think at the time it came out, it would have just been that a lot of people in the English speaking world weren't watching Japanese horror films.
Because that's the only
reason for that movie to be successful.
I agree. And I think that wasn't the fault of the audience.
No, I'm not saying there's a fault of the audience, but I'm saying that's why the movie was successful.
Yeah.
Because the concept was solid.
Brand new, and brand new to a majority of the audience.
So the concept was really solid, and even executed mediocrely. Like, it's not executed badly, per se, it's just... bland. It's a bland version of a good film.
The cinematography in Ring is so much better.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's because of the aspect ratio that they filmed in it, or it feels like everything feels more intimate.
Yeah.
And in horror...
there's also way less dialogue.
Correct.
Which helps it feel intimate, because you're just like, these are people who are comfortable with each other and are just like moving, you know, they don't need to speak.
Yeah.
And especially like Yoichi barely speaks, whereas I can't remember the name of the child in the remake.
Aiden.
Yeah, he's just like constantly mouthing off about nothing.
Yeah. And
he doesn't even have psychic things to tell you about.
Yeah.
Whereas Yoichi just has this like silent... vibe, silent, strong vibe.
Yeah.
Small child.
Yeah, it's so funny because these movies came out so close together. They are so similar. They're almost borderline copy paste because, you know, why ruin a good thing by changing it?
But they did ruin it by changing it.
Yeah, but like I'm
they
saying,
made like stupid choices to change.
What I'm saying is that the choices they made didn't make the movie better.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a weird...
they could have just done a shot-for-shot remake in English.
And it would have been better.
And it would have been better.
Yeah. Even with worse acting than the Japanese one. Yeah, because our boy Hiroyuki Sanada was wonderful.
Yeah.
He's just perfect. He's just very good. He's popping up in everything for me. I think he might be the VHS curse. I think he
just
might.
Because we watched...
because we watched all of Lost recently.
Yeah.
And he was in Bullet Train, which we did on the podcast pretty recently. And he's in Westworld, which we're watching right now.
Yeah.
He hasn't appeared in it yet, though.
Yeah.
I don't know when he's in it. But he is. He shows up with the credits. He's in it.
He's in lots of things.
He's in Sunshine, which we've also done for the podcast relatively recently.
Was it recently?
Was that not this year? Maybe that was last year.
Everything feels like ages ago when you've, like, done... Because we... Like, in comparison to... When I say normal people, I'm not referring to you guys, the audience. I'm referring to people who don't watch movies regularly. Like, I was talking to somebody at work, and I referenced, like, three different movies in regards to talking about the podcast.
Yeah.
And they were like, I haven't seen any of those. And I was like, how? Do you live under a rock? And
person at work I talk to about movies who does listen to the podcast. And I because we were always watching movies for the podcast, like every time we talk and he's like, so what movies have you seen lately? I'm like, just stuff for the podcast.
Because we also used to have our friends and family group of friends where we used to watch, like, sort of vote and then watch a movie and then come back.
Yeah, was that once a fortnight?
I think
that feels like a lot.
Yeah, I think it was once a month.
I think it might have been once a fortnight, and I think that's why it stopped happening, because people couldn't keep coming to it. Everyone got too busy.
Yeah.
We go to a cinema club thing once a month
Which is fantastic.
Yeah.
Going into a movie blind and knowing that the person who's picking the movie isn't going to pick something that's going to ruin the club.
Yeah.
Unlike what me or you would pick every time. He's just like, yeah, we sold out again. It's crazy. Like, I don't even know half these people. I'm like, Purge episode, bro. You can do a Purge episode. Ralph Bakshi's Wizards. No one will come back. Ralph
Bakshi's Wizards. My suggestion, always Sorry to Bother You.
Yeah, yeah.
I think
Sorry to Bother You would be a little bit too far. Like,
I thought you guys say it'd be a little bit better than Wizards. I think Wizards would be more palatable than Sorry to Bother You, probably.
I think Sorry to Bother You would offend more people on a...
I think we just need to get them to show Tusk, and then no one will come back.
Well, we want people to come back. We just want the weird kind of people that we associate with.
Yeah, we just need to start our own weirdo cinema club where we only show weird movies.
Yeah, so we'd have the version of the club.
Yeah.
Which is, I guess, this Halloween special that's coming up.
Yeah.
Anyway, enough about our social lives. It's a very interesting place to, like, you know, as you said, it kicks out of the franchise and it's become a huge thing now where you just, like, copy and paste some other country's original work and be like, this is mine, and print money with it.
Yeah.
It's a shame that things aren't going the other way, because I guess our cultural differences are growing so massively because of the... Well, not... Sorry. That's incorrect speak. The education following the differences in our culture is so much easier to get to than it would have been in the early 2000s, in the 90s. And I think that's where it's going, if that makes sense. Does that make any sense to what I'm saying? You could Google, like, you could spend 15 minutes on Wikipedia and learn about, like, Shintoism, where I feel like in 2000, like, when I was alive and the ring came out in movies.
Sorry, hang on. When you were alive?
Yeah, the times that I weren't.
Are you not anymore?
Yeah, the times that I weren't were a mistake.
Back when I was alive. Yeah. shit, I've been
this is a haunt.
Doing this with a ghost the whole time.
FYI, I'm going to do something Samara never did. Share this episode, or otherwise it kills you within 7 days.
Yeah, if you don't share this episode within 7 days, you're going to die.
And then that person has to share the episode, and that person, and then, well, eventually someone will listen to us in Antarctica. No, what I'm saying is it's a little bit easier to research another culture these days because of how the internet works versus back in my day where I used to complete homework using an encyclopedia.
Yeah, I was going to say, we had physical encyclopedias.
And, like, you could tell which kids had to do them at the school versus, like, because, you know...
I also had Encarta Encyclopedia 98 on CD-ROM.
That was at school. You could access it at school.
I had one at home.
We had the one computer in the entire school.
Yeah, we had one computer in the entire school in my primary school.
Yeah.
Or my first primary school. And then I moved primary schools, and they had a whole computer room with enough computers for a whole class of kids. And it was like, I had never seen anything like that before. Yeah. And everyone else was like, yeah, this is normal. And I was like, well, you guys are way richer than I am.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, I was a big deal for me to have a home computer in the 90s. Because, like, when I was at, like, primary school, in my original primary school, and we had the one computer in the school, if anything went wrong with it, the nuns would come take me out of class because I was the kid with a home computer. So I might know how to fix it.
Sorry.
I left that school when I was 9.
Sorry.
I was Yoichi.
Sorry, what I was going to point out is because of, you know, the concept of these movies and being about haunted, and they're like, yeah, the nuns used to come get me to fix the computer.
Yeah, the nuns
it
used to come.
It was showing up like a ring thing.
I was this little nerd kid with a home computer who knew how to fix the school computer, and the nuns would come get me out of class to fix the computer.
That's fun.
Yeah.
But my point being, as we got to it in the end, we jumped to conclusion. The conclusion of what I was saying is that people take things, people get obsessed with things, and I will throw out some names here. Attack on Titan, you may have heard of it. Yeah, without knowing anything about the original person, and it becomes this unbelievably huge franchise where most people would, even if you didn't know the title of said anime/manga, you would notice something from it that has been into some form of mainstream media, parodied, mentioned, you know, the weird juxtaposition that is Western pop culture these days, and not know anything about the original author, and when you find out, you're like, oh, mm-hmm. No.
Spoiler alert, it's about being a Nazi.
Yeah, yeah.
The good guys are the Nazis in Attack on Titan.
Yeah.
Did you know this? It's why they all have German names.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's it's very interesting.
Yeah.
Did silence there for a second.
Anyway,
back to the movies we watched. You know, if you watch the videotape, the phone rings. That's another thing. Hypothetically, these movies don't exist.
Yeah.
Right? Oh, sorry. The remake never exists. Wasn't a big franchise thing in
Western
in the Western world.
Yeah.
You were remaking that for Netflix or Hulu or whatever company you're contracted with.
Yeah.
And you're making it as the next book, you know, come out in October, like, hit, trying to break into the, you know, the horror market.
Now? You're remaking it in 2025.
It wouldn't work.
No, it absolutely wouldn't.
No.
VHS tape, first
VHS
of all,
tape, yeah.
Is a problem.
There'd
the ability
be a bunch
to
of kids,
quickly
like, trying to shove it in, like, horizontally into a vertical slot. Being like, how does this work?
The landlines.
Yeah, the landlines wouldn't work. Wells don't exist anymore.
I mean, the well was boarded up and built over anyway.
Correct, but they don't, like, they would have been boarded up and built over decades ago before the child was born.
It's
weird.
A
little bit more progressive with mental health, I feel like.
Yeah, hopefully.
And that kid would have grown up to be some sort of weird super soldier, like a is the remake of The Ring just Stranger Things? Is she 11?
Definitely. I mean, I wouldn't call Stranger Things a remake of The Ring.
No, but I'm saying
but
it's like,
yeah, it's that same kind
Samara
of
Samara 11?
Yeah, it's that's Samara's only her name in the remake as well.
Correct.
Sadako.
Yeah.
Is her name in the thing, the original. It's a similar vibe. Like I mentioned, Carrie as well. It's another like child with psychic abilities they can't control. That show we watched. I'm not. I don't know what was it called. I'm Not Okay With This. Is that what it's called? I was going to say I'm Not at Home in This World Anymore, but that's a movie starring Elijah Wood and Melanie Lynskey.
Yeah.
I'm Not Okay With This. That's what it's called, right?
I don't remember.
We watched it pretty recently. It's basically Carrie again.
I was thinking Brightburn, and I was like,
Brightburn is another. This is a something that comes up a lot, actually.
Yeah.
These like kids with super abilities that they can't control and end up hurting people with.
I always found Carrie was like, and I think I mentioned this during the episode. It's just very much about like, conservative religion and being a terrible parent.
Yeah. So is this a little bit.
especially don't, like, the remake. Murder your child and chuck him down a well.
Yeah, but especially the remake where they, like, have adopted her and then are really shitty to her.
Yeah.
And then it's like she's in a mental institution and she's only doing badly because of how her parents are treating her. Whereas, like, in...
Also, Brian Cox's death is way over the top.
Yeah, and for, like, no reason.
He constructs, like a Rube Goldberg machine of electrocuting him. Attaches it to a bit, because
he's obsessed with horses.
Then jumps into a bathtub and is all like...
Also, sorry, can we talk about the horse on the boat scene?
Oh, that's horrific. It is so overly, unbelievably over the top.
What were my notes? I feel like I just asked a bunch of questions one after the other. I was like, what's with all the horse stuff? Because there was just more horse stuff happening at that point. And then I said, why is she such a dick to this horse?
Yeah.
And then I was like, why is everyone so annoying? But she literally goes up to a horse on a boat and the horse freaks out. Totally calm. And then she comes up to the horse and freaks it out. And my thought at that moment would be like, oh, sorry, back away.
Yeah.
And instead she just pushes and pushes and then the horse gets more upset and then she starts screaming at the horse until the horse runs out of the thing and ends up dying as a result of actions.
It's not even like dying.
It's like jumping off the boat to get away from her and then it gets
hit by the propeller of the ferry. Yeah, I was gonna say,
it gets like literally and totally the worst decimated. Part
is, it's like a little girl's horse.
Yeah, and she's watching it die.
Yeah, and then she's like sitting there watching the blood and boil and screaming. Out. Yeah, and you're just like,
and it's like this was entirely avoidable.
Yeah,
don't approach the horse at first sight. But if fair enough, approach the horse if that's you're like, oh cool, a horse. The second the horse starts to freak, be like, oh sorry, didn't mean to upset you. You're not my horse. I don't know how to handle you. I don't know what past trauma you have. Like, if you go up to it's like people who go up to a dog and decide to start petting the dog without asking the owner, like, can I pet your dog? Hey, is your dog okay to be petted? Is it friendly? Or whatever. You know, they just walk up and, like, and then if they get bitten, they're like, oh, your dog's savage. It's like, why did you go up to a strange dog? Because if you come up and are direct with an animal that has, like, some kind of past trauma or has any kind of issues with that kind of aggression, they're gonna freak out. Just like, leave the animal alone. If you don't know the animal, you don't know how to handle it, or like, you know, do what she did, put your hand out to reach out to be like, hey, do you want to sniff my hand? And when it freaks, go, sorry, bye, I'll back away. Hopefully you calm down, I'm really sorry. And instead, she just keeps like trying to shove her hand in it and then just starts screaming at it. Like, how is that gonna help?
Yeah.
Just walk away. Don't kill horses. Just leave them alone. It was just minding its own business. And she killed it for no reason. And then she went to see Brian Cox. And then told him about the VHS tape. And then he's like, well, if there's a VHS tape, that means this is never going to end. So I'm going to use this Rube Goldberg machine. I'm going to wait until you come in here to see me. And then I'm going to electrocute myself in front of you while you're standing on the wet bit. So you might also get electrocuted.
She's watching TV and he like rips the TV out of the wall, beats her with it, and then walks into the room and adds it to his Rube Goldberg machine.
Yeah, it's not like he just walks in with the TV and uses that to electrocute himself. He's already set up everything. Yeah, he just wants to add the TV into it for no reason.
It's so bananas.
It's so weird. Also, like, getting the records at the hospital. Like, Noah just, like, walks in and is like, hey, I'm here to see the records of this patient. And they're like, who the fuck are you? And he's like, I've seen them before upstairs. So they're like, no, they're downstairs. And he's like, fucking idiots. And breaks in and goes downstairs. And then he still like ends up talking to a guy and pretending to be the dad of the girl, even though they know that the dad is like in his 60s or something. Yeah, yeah. And this guy's like 30.
He deserves to die.
She also deserves... I think when the horse died, I was like, she deserves whatever the fuck is coming. Yeah, yeah. I know, I think I said, I want her to die in this version. Whereas I didn't want Reiko to die. I didn't want Ryuji to die, and he does die, which is sad. I definitely didn't want Yoichi to die. Like, I think in my notes at the point where Yoichi watches the tape, I was like, all caps, like, no, Yoichi! Whereas I don't think I even mentioned it that Aiden had watched it in the other one, because I was like, I don't care. Oh, I did. I wrote, Aiden watches the tape. There's literally, my notes in the first one is all in caps, no, Yoichi watching the tape! And then in the remake, it just goes, Aiden watches the tape. And it's just like... Where did I go on from that? Oh, yeah. So I was like, no, Yuichi watching the tape. He says Tomoko told him to. Ryuji has psychic abilities. And then it's like, and the remake at the same point, what happens? Where is it? I've saw it before. Aiden watches the tape. I couldn't sleep. So no scene goes for this kid, I guess. And then, oh, Noah finally believes her about the tape.
Yeah, yeah.
So like literally this same moment in the two, in the original, is like, the devastation of realizing Yoichi has watched the tape and then realizing that he can see, and then it's revealed that he can see the ghost of his dead cousin.
Yeah.
And he's been, and she told him to watch the tape, and then it's like, oh my god. And then you go to Ryuji and you find out that he's actually got psychic abilities, and you're like, oh, that explains all these other things.
Yeah.
Whereas in the remake, he watches the tape and he's like, and she's like, why'd you do it? And he's like, oh, I couldn't sleep.
Yeah.
And you're like, okay, cool. Like, I guess. And then it's, and finally Noah's like, oh my god. Oh yeah, because he sees himself in the CCTV camera, and it's like, oh, my face is blurred. Oh, maybe there is a curse. And it's like, cool. Like, whereas obviously Ryuji had believed it the whole time, because he's like, oh yeah, this fucking tape has got like a weird ass aura coming off it. Anyway, it's just like totally bizarre. But then Aiden does, the little girl tells him to draw her house.
Yeah.
Also, do you find it weird that it's a little girl in the remake, where it's a 30-year-old woman in the, or 30-something-year-old woman in the
original? Because, I think that small children are creepier.
Yeah, that's fair. I think because the point, and this is something that I distinctly remember from the sequel, watching it when I was like 14, is that she's put down the well, and then it's like, it's revealed that she was alive and her fingernails were in it, because she tried to climb out. In the original Japanese version, she spent 30 years trying to climb out of the well.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, the whole thing. Whereas in the remake, and I guess maybe it was to tie it, A, because there's the children are creepy, but also to tie it in with the why the tape is the way it is.
How long has she survived down there?
Seven days. Yeah. So she survived 7 days, so everyone else got to survive 7 days after watching her tape. Yeah, and the thing that I find it totally wild is that Divide Chase is even now, because I remember finding this bizarre at the time. But now, like, even now, I can't think of anything else really, except she was in Donnie Darko as a little sister.
Yeah.
But, like, she hasn't gone on to become, like, a big star.
Mm.
Divide Chase is known for two roles, and they are Samara in The Ring and Lilo in Lilo and Stitch. Yeah. And it's so strange to me that those were her two roles. I also wasn't expecting her to speak, so it kind of ruined it for me a little bit when the creepy, psychic little girl suddenly opens her mouth and she's Lilo from Lilo and Stitch. Because she doesn't do voices. Because that's why I can't watch the English dub of Spirited Away. Because I'm like, I can't take Chihiro seriously if she's just Lilo. Like, oh, hi! No, it just doesn't work. It's like, I can't listen to that remake. Or to that, sorry, that dub. And it took me out of things in the Ring remake. Not that I was really immersed to begin with, because it's kind of, it's not as captivating as the original. But it is just weird that it's just Lilo talking. Because she does look creepy.
She's in the newer one.
Is she?
Yeah, the one from 2017.
Okay. Is she still playing Samara?
Yeah.
Oh.
It's archive footage.
Oh, okay. So it's just clips from this one.
Yeah.
Okay. Claire was like, did they just let Samara grow up?
She's also in Rings and Rings 2. She's in Rings and The Ring 2, but it's archival footage. So, yeah, right. They just used the footage they recorded of her.
Over and over.
For 2002, just multiple times for, like, 15 years later. I wish you got a residual check for that. I'd be pissed if you didn't.
Yeah, hopefully.
Be like, hey, we focused this entire other movie around the work you did, you know, 15 years ago.
Yeah. I mean, she was still voicing Lilo for a long time as well. Mm. Though I think Dakota Fanning did Lilo. I think Divide Chase continued, if I remember correctly, Divide Chase continued to voice Lilo in the TV series, but they made like a spin-off, like a made-for-TV movie, like second movie, where I think Dakota Fanning played Lilo in that. Not that that's really relevant to this. Do you know what? They could have replaced the kid with a had to be a daughter, and Dakota Fanning would have had the chops to play.
Yeah.
Creepy little kid. Or I'm trying to think, 2002, would that have been Elle Fanning? No, she would have been too young, I think. Yeah, I think Dakota Fanning could have pulled it off better.
Because it was the same as War of the Worlds? Was War of the Worlds the same year? The Tom Cruise one?
I think that was later.
Is that the younger sister? I don't know. They all look the same.
No, Dakota Fanning's the older sister.
Yeah.
But she was in a lot of stuff. She was like a fantastic child actor. I think from what I've seen, though, then again, I haven't really seen Dakota in anything as an adult. I think Elle Fanning, I didn't think Elle Fanning was as good of a child actor, but I think she's actually pretty decent as an adult actor. What was Dakota Fanning in 2002? Let's figure out age wise here. Sweet Home Alabama. So it was a year after I Am Sam.
Right.
And the year before she did Uptown Girls and The Cat in the Hat. So yeah, I think absolutely at that age Dakota Fanning could have nailed that role. And in the original book it is a daughter. But the main character, the like reporter, is a man.
Yeah.
So they just like swap the genders of that entire family for the Japanese film, and then the American remake is not an adaptation of the book, it's just a remake of the Japanese film. Yeah, I think 100% she could have played the kid in this movie. Because she has that vibe in I Am Sam.
Yeah.
She's an incredible little child actress.
I got some trivia for you.
Oh, yeah?
Normally it's you that does all the trivia. Yeah. But I've got trivia because I just found it.
I wonder if it's something that I already have
written. Maybe it is. So there was a list of the scariest movies. And The Ring turns up on the 20th out of 100.
Which, the American one?
Yeah.
Wow. Not very scary movies on there, though. Yeah. What's number one?
Jaws.
Ah, okay. I don't find Jaws scary.
Yeah, but then you...
Maybe they mean suspense.
You haven't watched it in a pool at night.
Because that's true. It was I haven't pool, watched it in a pool at night.
There was a pool park that used to show during summer. I don't know which pool park it is. If you do know, join our Discord and tell me about it.
Oh my god.
There was a pool park that their whole like bit was during summer.
They just showed Jaws.
You were in a pool, there were no lights on, and it was just Jaws, and you watched Jaws in a pool, like on one of those floaty things where it's like only like above, like holding above your, so your arms are over the top of it, like a ring. And you just like sit there and float watching Jaws while your feet don't touch the bottom of a pool.
Yeah. They should then.
And unlit and it's pitch black.
They should have cheaper nights where they show Ghost Shark.
Just Jaws after all the Jaws movies.
Yeah, and then Ghost Shark when they run out of Jaws movies.
No, there's like 5 Jaws movies and they're all terrible except for the first one.
There's like in Back to the Future 2? Is it, what is it, Jaws?
5D.
Oh, is that what it is?
I think it's like Jaws 5D.
I was trying to think of what number Jaws it was, because I feel like it was the implication was that there's going to be so many different Jaws movies. And there were a bunch of different Jaws movies.
Okay, so, yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah, Jaws 2, Jaws 3D.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Sweet. Do you want me to get into trivia then as well? Or is there anything else you want to talk about in the actual movies?
No, I think we covered off everything that was sort of different, the same, what was good in the original, what was good in the sequel. You know, this is a different sort of mix-up of our standard two movies you didn't know. One you didn't know existed and, you know, one you may have heard of or seen.
Who? Who didn't know this existed?
No, I'm saying that, like, that's our normal shtick.
Oh, okay. I'm like, everyone knows these movies.
A movie you know of, like Madagascar, and a movie you'd never heard of, Into the Wild.
No, not Into the Wild, just The Wild.
Oh, whatever, it was awful.
Yeah, but a lot of people had heard of it.
Okay.
I'd heard of it. I'd never seen it before, though, but I'd heard of it.
Okay.
The sound of the phone ringing in the original, I think they used the same one in the remake. They made it themselves by mixing the sounds of four different types of telephones because the director wanted to have an uncommon and less Hollywood sounding ring. And also in
Moshi Moshi.
In the UK DVD release of Ring, the Japanese movie, the back cover has a disclaimer on it that states that the distributor accepts no responsibility for any injuries or fatalities that may occur during or after the viewing of this video cassette.
Okay.
Which is very funny. I like that. Right. For the remake, on the first week of release in the US and Canada, certain cinemas put actual copies of the cursed videotape on seats for as like a free takeaway thing for viewers, not knowing what was on it. And it's now available, now the cursed video is an Easter egg feature on the DVD.
Yeah.
Gore Verbinski, he deliberately chose not to cast any major stars for the main or supporting characters because he wanted the film to be kind of discovered by audiences and not just people going to see named actor. Obviously, several people, including Naomi Watts, Martin Henderson, and Amber Tamblyn, have gone on to have bigger careers and have received retroactive recognition for it. The ring shape motif is obviously only in the remake, which we didn't touch on, because the author of the novel, Koji Suzuki, said that the title of Ring referred to the cyclical nature of the curse, because to survive watching it, you have to copy it and pass it around and over and over. Whereas I guess for American audiences, they wanted to have clear, like, here's the ring, this is the ring.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it's what they used was the light around the edge of the lid of the well, appears on the videos, but also Naomi Watts' character, Rachel, sees it when she's looking up out of the well when it's about to be closed up. And then something I thought was really interesting is there's a whole, this is something that we didn't talk about, and we can now. In the Japanese, like the original adaptation of this, the ending, when she figures out that the tape needs to be copied, she goes to get Yoichi, who she has left with her father. And the implication is that because they don't show what's happening, but it is, I think it's revealed in the sequel, but it's also kind of implied. The implication is that she's going to get him to copy the tape and show it to her father and kill her father.
Yeah.
That
is the implication at the of the ring.
Yeah. In the remake, they show her physically getting Aiden to record, like she uses his hand to record the tape onto a new tape. And then she's saying, like, this is going to save you. And he's like, what happens to the person who watches it? And she's like, and then it just ends.
Yeah.
With no indication of who that person is going to be. So they did actually film two scenes to bookend the movie.
Right.
So an opening scene and an ending scene. where she, which also I think was supposed to introduce us to the idea that she's a reporter, which is probably why it's not mentioned for ages in the movie,
right.
Which seems weird, but it's because there was an opening scene where it was clear, where she's visiting a prison doing a story on a serial rapist.
Right.
Played by Chris Cooper. Or it's, I don't know, because it's different reports whether he's a serial killer or a serial rapist, maybe both. And essentially, like, then, you know, it opens with that, and it's allegedly to show us that she's a reporter or whatever. But then at the end of the film, they bring him the videotape. So right. It's so they invented this whole character to be like, oh, well, it's less... morally ambiguous.
If you kill someone who's only going to be executed.
Yeah, if you kill someone who's a murderer and a rapist, that's what you got to do. Whereas in the original, she's like, I need to fucking save my kid.
Yeah.
My dad's lived a life, Yoichi hasn't.
Yeah.
You know, and she's just making a very tough decision on the fly. Whereas in the remake, it's like, oh, let's film these scenes and... she's going to bring it to a bad person, and then the bad person die, and it's all okay. So I don't know why they chose to cut it. Maybe they realized that it wasn't necessary to do that, but then as a result, you end up having no idea who she's giving the tape to. But I guess you don't need to know, because, I mean, you don't definitively get that answer in the original either.
I really feel... sorry, like, I've been distracted while you've been talking. Not that I'm not listening. I really feel like we have to go watch the scary movie that's based on the ring.
I don't want to. I really have no interest in the scary movies.
Fair.
I just...
I'm going to.
I don't find... like, because I haven't seen the movies, but I've seen, like, all these different clips from them, and I really don't find them very funny at all.
Yeah, it is dated humour.
Yeah. I saw clips and trailers back when they were released, and I didn't find them funny back then either. That's about it for the trivia. I did take down the budget in box office. The original, the budget was $1.2 million, and it made $19.5 million at box office. And the American remake, the budget was $48 million, and it made $249 million at box office. So you can understand why it got so many sequels and why it turned into a whole money-grabbing scheme of American production companies remaking Japanese horror films. You get, like, The Grudge and all those as well. The Ring started a trend. And they were like, whoa, look how much money you can get by taking these cool, interesting ideas these other people have.
And whitewashing them.
Yeah, making them terrible, but showing them to an audience who has no idea the original exists.
Yeah.
So it's great.
Thank you for joining us. You can go to our website. It has an address, and that address is ittakes2.co.nz.
And remember, if your phone rings when this episode ends, you've got 7 days to share this episode with someone else, or else you will die, actually. But it's fine if you want to send the episode to...
your dad?
To a serial rapist in prison.
If you're just, like, in the same network, I don't know, who knows?
Just send this episode. So here's another message, right? If someone has shared this episode with you...
they're trying to kill you.
They want you to die? That's not a very nice friend, so maybe... no. Yeah, conflicting messages here. anyway, we do hope that you enjoyed it. I'm excited for our next few episodes we've got coming up as well. So stick around and listen to more episodes. If you're new here, thanks for joining us, and I hope you listen to some more.
Catch you next time.
Goodbye.